Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I know we're supposed to talk about the Chiefs here, but I can't wait to play this audio. Like, I can't contain it anymore. Maybe this is the wrong way to go about doing my job, but I really pride myself on trying to stay in my lane and highlight my strengths. Like, I've understood if you're coming to this show for NHL hockey playoff breakdowns, you should listen to another show or a podcast. That's not the kind of service that I provide here. I can give you some NBA playoff stuff. If something happens in soccer, I can ask Rob, and then Rob can pop on and then give you his point of view. But I try to focus on what I think I'm good at, you know? So I wish more people in my profession follow that same advice. Until now. Rob has not heard this. I mislabeled it in our folder so Rob wouldn't know this is coming. You know that ESPN has Stephen A. Smith doing everything, right? Did you ever think that you needed Stephen A. Smith on soccer? Of course you didn't. Well, I've got it for you.
You know what time it is, right? You know what time it is, don't you? It's time for me to do that soccer. The Euro 2020 soccer tournament starts Friday. You can watch every game on the ESPN family of networks, and I'll admit, I'm a little limited in my knowledge of the beautiful game. But just like hockey, I'm excited to get into it. So today, I'm going to pick a team all of y'all to support along with me.
Yes. I'm here to tell you I will play every second of Stephen A. Smith soccer content. You guys on the text line are always, talk soccer, talk soccer. I'm going to give you the best at talking soccer. I'm giving you Stephen A. Smith. You guys always say soccer's not getting its proper just due. It's the most popular game in the world. Well, you know what? The most popular person at the most popular sports television station is now choosing to embrace it. Stephen A. Smith is going to give you soccer takes. I'm here for it, Rob. I'm here for it. Who cares if he's not fully qualified to do it? Stephen A. Smith is now going to start giving us soccer? I'm here for it. I want more of it. I want more. I need more soccer from Stephen A. Smith.
I understand what ESPN's stuck doing. They've paid this man a ton of money.
He got to do everything now.
He's got to do everything. You can't pay that man. It's like the idea that, like, all right, we're going to pay all this money. You have to go out there. You have to succeed. But I'm a big proponent of wanting soccer to expand and become more popular in America. And the way to do it is to have educated people discuss it on national platforms. When there's a major soccer tournament, we got to have major soccer voices go on there and discuss what they saw so the average fan understands it and enjoys it. Stephen A. Smith is none of those things. He's going to go on there and he's going to yell and scream and he's going to mispronounce everyone's name and he's going to make a sham out of a sport I would like to see develop and improve in popularity. And all he's going to do, he's going to do what he did remember a few years ago when he and Joe Rogan had beef because Joe Rogan's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just yelling and screaming.
That's how we need.
That's how I'm going to feel during the Euro 2021. I'm going to watch him yell.
That's not what you guys want?
I'm going to hear him yell and scream about players he's never watched, he doesn't know nothing about, and then he's going to go on SportsCenter. It's going to be awful. Just an awful, awful, awful decision.
You're telling me that you don't want this in your soccer coverage.
Kwame Brown is gone. The City of Angels, Hollywood, just should be celebrating. Throw a parade already, whether you win a championship or not. This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play. No disrespect whatsoever, but I'm sorry to tell everybody the truth. The man cannot play the game of basketball. He has small hands. He can't catch the ball. He's got bad feet. He can't really move, even though he's mobile. Doesn't really know what he's doing. Doesn't have a post move that he puts to memory that he can do two times in a row. He has no game whatsoever. Plays no defense, doesn't have the heart, the passion, or anything that comes with it.
You're telling me that you don't want that in your soccer coverage? Missing right now from soccer in this country.
Do you know why that cut is so good? He knows what he's talking about and then goes out of his way to talk about a bad player. He's going to just say things that mean no sense in soccer. We need to have the soccer equivalent of Stephen A. exist.
No, you can
but
just
Stephen A. himself is not the guy.
You can just have Stephen A. Smith.
I'm going to leave it to you because if it comes out of my mouth and I sit up there and I literally articulate the stuff that this man has done since he has been the executive of the New York Knicks, I'm going to lose my mind. I ain't going to be able to do the rest of the show. I'm telling you right now, if it comes out of my mouth, I'm not going to be able to control myself because I'm barely able to right now. I'm going to try to keep my composure. His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
You don't want that in your soccer coverage.
No, I don't want that in my soccer coverage.
This is what I'm always so confused about. Soccer people, work with me here. 913-576-7610. When people say talk Chiefs or talk Royals, I have a good understanding of what they mean. You guys say talk soccer. Stephen A. Smith is now talking soccer. What do you want us to do? You want us to have game previews, breakdowns? He's supposed to have people on from the opposite team. Stephen A. Smith is trying to do his best to give you guys the content that you asked for. And now you complaining about it. Y'all wanted soccer on ESPN. Now you getting it and now you complaining. Now he's going back to talking about the Knicks.
Stephen A., the floor is yours first.
Nothing ever goes right. Nothing ever goes right for us.
Last time the New York Knicks won a championship, I was 5 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm 51. Leave it to the New York Knicks. I mean, the Knicks can't catch a break to save their damn lives.
Is that not the passion that you guys want in your soccer coverage from Stephen A. Smith? Is that not what you want? You don't want that passion. You don't want that heart. You don't want that ambassador to push forward soccer in this country. Stephen A., sometimes you don't always get the hero you need, but you need a hero. And Stephen A. Smith is ready to step up and be the soccer voice for America.
What do you always say? Life's about strengths and weaknesses.
Life is about knowing your strengths
and
weaknesses.
ESPN is putting a weakness into something they've put a lot of money into.
It's also about growth.
They lost the World Cup, and they spent a lot of money to get this major European championship on their airways. And they looked at their payroll, and they're like, we don't really pay soccer people. Who's the highest paid guy we got? This would be like if in the mid, let's say Sporting KC makes a playoff run this year. They probably should. They're very good. Let's say in the middle of the playoff run, you're like, hey, Rob, let's get a soccer voice on. I was like, don't worry, I got the guy. And I brought Bink in here. It'd be the dumbest thing we did. No offense to Bink. He can't cover the sport. And now ESPN at the highest level is thinking Stephen A's the guy to break down, was it Wales and Switzerland tomorrow?
Yes.
I can't think of a worse idea. I can think of a worse idea, but they're all so bad, they're not worth discussing.
More importantly, Kwame Brown is gone. The City of Angels, Hollywood, just should be celebrating. Throw a parade already, whether you win a championship or not. This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
He can't play. We need more of that from Stephen A. Smith. We need absolute more of that is what we need from Stephen A. Smith. Let's step aside here. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Chiefs. We might play Stephen A. Smith talking about the Chiefs since you guys want to put down my man screaming Stephen A. We'll do that next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Let's talk a little bit of Kansas City Chiefs football. So we now have the unfortunate news of Kyle Long. Kyle Long has a leg injury. I'm not sure if it's a foot or a knee. I don't really think it matters that much. He ain't going to be playing football anytime soon for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's why whenever this move was originally made, when they originally brought him into the fold, I said, this is a move that I like if it is only an in-depth move. If the plan for bringing Kyle Long in was, well, we don't think he'll be the starter. We're not counting on him being the starter, but he's our break in case of emergency kind of player. I loved it. Wasn't a significant financial investment. Very low risk. Moderate size return. We're talking about a guy who at one point in his career was an all pro, was a Pro Bowl caliber type player. So we're talking about someone who has a chance to really help this team. But the issue with Kyle Long has simply been injuries. In 2016, he played in 8 games. In 2017, he had played in 9 games. In 2018, he played in 8 games. In 2019, he had played in 4 games. I know Barbara and I might have a different definition of what injury prone is, but we certainly can't look at the history and track record of Kyle Long and then come away saying that we're surprised this is the outcome. This is how the outcome has been for the last 4 seasons in which he had been in the NFL. So I'm looking at a guy like Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I'm looking at a guy like Andrew Wiley, Trey Smith. This is why you create depth. You're not going to do your offensive line or have a capable offensive line if you're not, I would say, 9 deep. You have to count in that natural attrition is going to happen on that O-line. We're talking about guys who are 300 pounds or more in some cases, constantly colliding into one another. You're going to have some bumps and bruises. Guys are going to miss some time, and you're going to need some players to stick in. So I'm happy that they got Kyle Long. I still think that he's going to provide value to this team. I still think he's a plus for this team. I don't think that this injury really changes that much for Kansas City. I was never for this move. He was going to be your week one starter because that's not a guy you can count on for the continuity that I think you're going to need to build with this O-line. Like, I think it's fair to say and come to this conclusion if you're talking about the team that you're going to see a very different offensive line in weeks 8, 9, and later than you're going to see early. So I want to play guys that I think are going to be able to stand up. How are their bodies going to hold up? So I've never been for Kyle Long starting for this team. So Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, he is going to be at mandatory minicamp here coming up in a couple of weeks. I don't know if it was visa or health related, but he hasn't been there. Charvarius Ward also hasn't been there, but I think a lot of that was due to the second round tender he just got. Rob, do you have any reason on why Frank Clark wouldn't be at OTAs? Everybody that matters on this team is at OTAs. Like, I don't want to sit here and really pound on guys for not being at optional practice, but everybody that matters to this team is at this practice. Mahomes is there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there. All of the skill position players that matter are there on defense. All your corners, aside from Charvarius Ward, but he was directly into a contract issue. Tyrann Mathieu's there. Chris Jones is there. Jarran Reed. Everybody that matters for this defense has shown up and been at this optional minicamp. What is Frank Clark doing?
I find myself in a tough spot here because I agree with you. I don't really care about OTAs and the fact that I don't really care who shows up and doesn't show up for OTAs because it's optional. And that the optional team activities. So I'm never going to crush a player for not going to the optional part. On the flip side, a part of me is confused because everyone showed up. It came in bunches. And we saw a couple teams across the NFL cancel mandatory minicamp because of good attendance at OTAs. The fact that a player that we believe is not, maybe not on the roster bubble is the right term, but a guy who has to have a big season or the Chiefs are going to get out from under his contract, the fact that he wouldn't go to the facility and do everything he could to have a great season or at least be seen in that capacity is very confusing to me. But again, I'm not going to crush him. If he didn't want to go to optional work, that's fine. A lot of times, a lot of people in their job get told, hey, there's an option to do more work, but you don't get paid anymore, and they choose not to do it. I don't crush those people either.
But sometimes, though, and this is where I do think sort of the herd dictates things, there is pressure if everybody is going to do it. Like if, let's say we had an optional thing at work, right? Like we're going to do a radiothon. Hey, it's not mandatory. It's on a Saturday. It's optional. If every other host opts into it, it's not optional for me anymore. I got to be there. I got to show up. The team is there, so I'm there. What is it what they always say? Like, if one of us fails, all of us fails? I'm just trying to figure out. I would say it's different in the case of Aaron Rodgers because I do think there was some solidarity. Because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, none of the wide receivers showed up. So, all right, I get it. Hey, Rodgers isn't there, so Devontae Adams isn't going to show up. Robert Turbin at tight end's not going to show up. Like, you're not going to have your primary weapons are there and they're all working out together or doing something else. Who is Frank Clark working out with if everybody's there? It'd be one thing if it was like 25 guys on the team that said, hey, we're not going to the optional. We're standing in solidarity with the NFL Players Union, but we're going to have our own like Brady camp, you know? Hey, come down here, work out with me. We'll do all this stuff together. Everybody that matters on the team is there except Frank Clark. A guy who's a top five highest paid defensive player in the team. You just can't call yourself a leader to me if you're not there. And that's fine if that's not what you want to be. But you can't say you're the heart and soul and the voice of the defense if everybody's in Kansas City practicing and you're not there practicing. You just, your leadership card to me has then been voided if you don't show up for the optional thing. So you're right. He is well within his right to not show up to the optional thing. There's no penalty for signing up for it. But if everybody is there and you're the one person that's not showing up, the problem is much more with you than it is with the group.
No, and that's the kind of the rock and the hard place to find myself because I don't know if they have a group text or whatever. How are they communicating with players over there? But he had to, in some capacity, know everyone's going to be there. I should probably be there. And again, I don't want to say the player knows his contract down to the T, but he has to have been told by someone, hey, the Chiefs are able to get out from under your contract at the end of the season. We need you to have a big year, and then they'll probably keep that contract, and you'll have the whole 5 years in Kansas City. And then he found out all his teammates were going to go, and he's like, no, I'm just going to work it on my own. I'll be there at mandatory minicamp. So that, I agree. He should be there, but on the other hand, again, I will never come down hard on a player for skipping optional work. And to your point about the radiothon, if it was 24-hour radiothon and every host was doing it, and it was optional, and you didn't show up, I wouldn't crush you because it's optional. The other difference here is that we see injuries in this. This is a physically grueling thing. This is not just walk around, play 7-on-7, and patty cake. So I will never crush a guy for not doing optional events that could get you hurt, which would then end your season. That's basically what happened to Kyle Long. He's going to fall out of the rotation, I think, because of an injury he got in optional team activities.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about the college football playoff as it has been expanded. We'll take your phone calls on this. I am very adamantly against the college football playoff. I'll go into why. We'll also take your phone calls on this coming up in just a little bit. 913-576-7610. Before we do that, I'm not going to spend time being cornered out here, I promise you. I understand that maybe I talk about the cornerbacks a little bit too much. Brett Veach possibly, maybe, perhaps deserves some of the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the position. And I just got to let it go. I just need you guys to help me with one thing. Why did the Chiefs not sign this contract? So we just saw the official details on Bashaud Breeland's deal from their Minneapolis Star Tribune guy, basically their Therese, their Nate Taylor, right? This is the salary. $1 million in base salary, a $1 million signing bonus, up to $1 million in roster bonuses. Why were the Chiefs not willing to do this? Am I missing something? Like, I pride myself on sort of being in the know, being in the mix, being able to understand something. $1 million in base salary that's fully guaranteed, $1 million in signing bonus, up to $1 million in a per game roster bonus. His cap hit is $2.7 million. Why did the Chiefs not sign this contract? I mean, it's obvious to me from Bashaud Breeland's POV, he wanted to play for the Kansas City Chiefs. We can play you the audio here. To me, it seems like the Chiefs made a choice with Bashaud Breeland of no, we don't want you. Like, I'm thinking that this contract wasn't even offered to him in Kansas City. Because I think if everything was the same, I think he would have chose to stay in Kansas City. I think he's back as a member of the Chiefs if that's the salary that is prevented to him. Like, I don't know if you're leaving where you are. I don't know if you're leaving if the money's going to be comparable and on that scale. It's not like he signed a massive deal that it's like, all right, cool. Like, this sets me up. You signed a very, very small deal. I mean, if we're talking base salary for this deal, it's nothing. This organization gave almost more money to Kyle Long in base salary than they gave to him. Chad Henne's base salary is more than what we're talking about. I'm really surprised that Bashaud Breeland didn't sign this deal. I'm really surprised he's not a member of the Chiefs at this contract, because it is a nothing contract to sign Bashaud Breeland to. Rob, would you have any reason? Is there an injury that I've missed with Bashaud Breeland? I know the marijuana stuff happened last year, but that's not even an issue anymore moving forward. Like, you are going to be seeing the frequency of marijuana suspensions moving forward that we saw before in this new CBA. So maybe it's a significant injury issue that people don't know about, but I can't for the life of me figure out why Bashaud Breeland isn't on the Chiefs if this is the contract that he got.
Unless the Chiefs decided they are happy with what they have at corner without him, which me and you would disagree with the Chiefs, but if they feel like the combination of Baker, who's come back from a major injury, they know his health, I don't, and they believe he's progressing nicely, they believe Rashad Fenton can take the next step, and if they believe that Bo Pete Keys is a real player and everyone else around him is going to get better, then it makes sense. I guess it's just kind of a wait and see, which I know is a lame radio answer, but if the Chiefs believe the combination of Baker, Bo Pete Keys, and Rashad Fenton can fill what Bashaud Breeland gave you, combined with Tyrann Mathieu, Charvarius Ward, and L'Jarius Sneed, then that makes sense why they didn't sign that contract. But it's going to be a wait and see, because if Breeland's better than any of those guys I mentioned this season at that contract, this is a mistake by Brett Veach.
Text line, 913-576-7610. C-Dot, are you related to Bashaud Breeland? He's slow, sucks, and holds all the time. Bashaud Breeland would be the second best corner on this team. I know Mike Hughes is the flavor of the month. Bashaud Breeland's better than Mike Hughes. He's better than Mike Hughes. I know DeAndre Baker is kind of new and we're batting our eyelashes at Bashaud Breeland's better than he is. Also healthier than he is. Somebody's got to explain to me. I don't know the next time we'll hear from Brett Veach, but somebody over there at One Herald Drive has to explain to me why Bashaud Breeland's not back on that contract. We've seen them move mountains when it comes to the salary cap. They've been able to move mountains when they really want to when it comes to the salary cap. They weren't willing to do anything, I would say, for Bashaud Breeland if they weren't willing to sign him to that contract. That's a no. You just didn't want him. You just didn't want him. If that's not a contract that you're willing to sign at that position for a guy who knows your system, knows your scheme, and has been a productive player, then you just, quite frankly, didn't want him on your team. And they are choosing Hughes and DeAndre Baker over him. I hope they're right. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about the college football playoff. It is expanding, but it's not good. I'll explain why. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We'll also talk about Garth Brooks, and I'm starting to think that Garth Brooks just might even be more popular than Patrick Mahomes. Like, I thought it was pretty clear, like a 1-2 where Mahomes is more popular, but I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is selling 70,000 tickets at Arrowhead in 2 hours. I mean, he's going to sell a lot of tickets at Arrowhead. He ain't selling them all in 2 hours, though. I mean, we have historical data to prove he ain't selling them that quickly. That is not what your boy Garth did. He sold 70,000 tickets today in 2 hours. I think they're going for the record. They're going to try to get 90,000 people in there. Clark saw that bottom line last year, and that bottom line was looking kind of lean, and he said, somebody got to heat this suite up, you know what I mean? You know going to heat this suite up? Rob is going to help heat this suite up. So they are going to get everybody they can into Arrowhead to see Garth Brooks later this summer. Rob, I feel like I am in the minority when it comes to my feelings toward a 12-team playoff. What I love about college football, from the way that the season is put together, is the regular season matters in a way that doesn't matter in any other sport that we follow in this country. Like, I could understand if you're a KU basketball fan how the regular season doesn't have a high level of importance. You've never missed a tournament in your life. You've never even been like a bad seed in the tournament. Like, Rob, what's the lowest seed you've seen KU in the tournament? Like six? Like, for the most part, they've either been a 1, 2, 3, or 4 every year into the NCAA tournament. So there isn't really that sense of consequence or urgency in the regular season, because you know at the end your team is going to have a chance to compete for the championship. We talk about the NBA regular season, how there's so much of an inventory where there's no incentive for you to watch Bucks and Nets on a random Tuesday in January, because you know it doesn't matter who wins or loses. But college football, it matters. And I would say it matters in a way that's different than even the NFL, where the week one, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, I don't know off the top of my head, but you know there's probably 5 to 8 matchups that will have a grave consequence on the way the season plays out, right? Like, Ohio State will play Oregon in Dallas. And you know whoever loses that game needs to go undefeated in their conference, or they have no chance of competing for the national championship. At least the new system, it gives you a buffer. It used to be if you lost one game in college football, you had no chance of winning a championship. Now they give you the grace period. And that creates the excitement. We have elimination games over the course of the regular season that you don't have in the NFL. Whenever the Chiefs play the Ravens, sure, it's fun, it's great, you want to go to it. It's not an elimination game. Sure, one team has the ability to be the one seed and the other one probably loses that ability based on losing that game and the necessary tiebreaker. But you know whenever Alabama plays Auburn that only one of them can go to the SEC championship game. The other one is still going to go to a good bowl game, but it makes you want to watch. It creates the excitement and the intrigue for it. How do we keep that with this current playoff model? How do we keep that? How do you keep the intensity of Alabama LSU or Oklahoma against another good team in the Big 12 if you have now devalued the regular season in a way that you've never done before in the sport? Even when they had it at 4, I would say there was still a special quality to the regular season, because then you knew that all 5 of the Power Five conferences couldn't get into the playoff. So it didn't have the same sense of urgency, but to me, changing it from, well, you got to go undefeated, to now giving a little bit of a grace period, I could argue help the sport because more teams are inclined to play those really important games in September. Alabama's more likely to play Oregon now because if you lose, it's not the same penalty that it was, let's say, back in 2011. Can we ever have a sense of urgency if 12 teams make the college football playoff? I don't think we ever can have that sense of urgency if that's going to be the case. That's number one. Number two is probably more of my soapbox. Let me stand up here on it. At some point, we're going to ask a kid at Alabama to play more football than we're asking professionals to play. Yet, in the professionals, we pay them a fair salary for it. Have you noticed, Rob, that we keep saying, well, you get a free education, you get a free education. Even though we continue to ask more of these athletes than we've ever asked them before, even though the university gets more than they've ever gotten before. Back when Tommy Frazier was playing, they didn't have Big Ten Network. They didn't have the networking contracts and TV deals and the budgets that they have. They didn't have a college football playoff. So now if you're the 5 seed, for example, so you don't get the bye, you got to go on the road and you got to do this. We're asking Ohio State to play 18 games over the course of the season. And then at the end, we're telling them, well, you got a scholarship from it. So, like, some of that is maybe the moral dilemma that I have is, if we're going to continue to ask these kids to play a professional schedule for our entertainment, at some point we got to have the conversation of, is the compensation that they get fair to it? Maybe that isn't something that you guys care about or think about, but it's going to be pretty clear. It's going to be pretty apparent and clear whenever Alabama plays 19 games in the regular season. We're like, hold on, how is this? How? How are we allowed this system to go on for as long as it's going on without figuring out how we're going to cut the players in? Because I'm assuming we figured out how we're cutting the television companies in. I would assume we figured out how we're cutting in the bowls. I figured out how they're going to factor in the conferences. All of them are going to eat off of this pie. Are we sure the players are going to eat off of this pie? But that's another issue. And I also don't think that it makes the sport better, because I don't think it solves the inequality that exists right now in college athletics. I mean, it's always been there, But we love to tell ourselves that it all matters is a championship. I'm sorry. The goals for Kansas football and the goals for Alabama football are different for a bunch of different reasons. Whether it's your recruiting base, whether it's the alumni money that you generate, whether it's the area that you live in and what's your access to five-star recruits. If you're Kansas and your recruiting base is, we talking Western Kansas, we talking Kansas City, Missouri metro area, we're also talking about you got to get the kids that have been picked over in Texas. You don't have access to five-star and four-star kids the way that Alabama does, the way that Florida does. If you're Florida or Texas, you never have to leave your state to recruit high-end, top-end talent. You can't say that if you're Kansas or Kansas State or Missouri or Iowa State. That's what makes it so hard to compete. So my stance is always going to be pretty clear. Unless we're talking about reducing Alabama scholarships from 85 to 50, and now those other 35 kids who are on scholarship that are backing up at Alabama are now forced to go somewhere else, that's the only way that you can divvy up the talent. Or it's just going to become more apparent where we're going to create a system that, yes, give us more games, but the regular season isn't nearly as entertaining as it was before. And we get a better picture of the disparity that exists between those teams. That's what's ultimately going to happen. What's ultimately going to happen is that's the system that it's going to create. Someone on the text line, 913-576-7610. No way possible that you love saying the same team, the same four teams play for the title. It sucks. What makes us think that's not going to be the system moving forward? Somebody's got to answer that for me. Yes, we're adding more teams. So in theory, it's possible for more variation. We think tomorrow if Clemson and Cincinnati played in a game, we think that those teams, we think that Cincinnati's beating them? How? Why? How does that happen? So maybe I'm way off on this. People are asking, how does this reduce the importance of the regular season? If you're expanding more teams that could make the postseason, then it's easier to advance. By definition, it reduces the importance of the regular season. Under the current system, at the most, two teams from a conference can be into a postseason. You guys say you want this. When it's five SEC teams out of the 12, it is not going to be as fun. It's just not going to be. Right now, we have a playoff system in college football. When Alabama plays LSU, Rob, do we not know that the loser can't compete for the national championship when we sit down and watch it?
Yeah, we know that. Listen, we're very rarely in lockstep on this show. I'm usually right and usually on the other side. On this, we're pretty much in lockstep here. Because if you recall, I got into a little spat with Gold about this. I hate that all American sports are going out of their way to devalue regular seasons. It's an epidemic across sports. The NFL added more playoff teams, only devalues the regular season. Baseball last year added more playoff teams, devalued the regular season. College basketball is the absolute worst at it. Drives me up a wall. It's just, why even play regular season? And college football was my last bastion of the regular season matters. And moving to 12 totally undoes all of that. I don't mind if we expand from 4 to 8. That way there's a higher threshold for winning your conference. That way all five get in. There is no way to rank the Pac-12 versus the Big Ten one year and play a little, you know, what do we actually think based on six people? I don't mind moving to 8. 12's ridiculous. And the other part of this I think is stupid, and you didn't mention it, is that the plan is to have those first round games. The top four seeds get a bye. Those other teams play a first round game. They're playing on campus. So there's actually a financial benefit to being seeds 5 through 8 because you get a home game against Cincinnati, which gets you another gate where if you're Bama and you just roll through your season and now the one seed, you don't get that bonus home game. The whole system is stupid. It's all dumb.
No, the system is really silly. And one question I would ask to people that are in favor of this is a very simple one. We follow college football for what? We have 150 years of data and information. When has college football done something in a way that was intended to help those outside their community? Like the community is the Power Five schools, right? That's the community. The community is the playoffs, and I would say the BCS system were intended to preserve teams that are in these five conferences. So, sure, Cincinnati might be the 12 seed in one of these tournaments. They might be. They might be the same teams in the tournament. But the same teams are always going to win. That I'm seeing a lot of this on the text line, and maybe this is where I'm different. It seems to me the argument is more we want to see new teams in the playoffs instead of we want to see new teams that have a chance to win the playoff. Like, that's what I'm seeing more. When we get tired of seeing the same teams, those same teams are going to win. They're just going to play new teams now. Like, create a system to me in which Alabama and Clemson are not vastly superior to everybody else. They're better than everybody else. Those kids at Alabama right now know. It is better for me to be the fourth wide receiver at Alabama than to go be the number one wide receiver at Cincinnati. We think this changes it. I don't think that's happening. So that's why I think we say we want certain things in college athletics, but once it actually happens, I think we have to ask ourselves, is the product better? And I don't know if this makes the product any better. I think it's more. I don't think it's a better product because we're adding more playoff teams. And I think it takes away one of the few things that makes college football special, why it's one of the best sports to watch. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Rob, hit my music because today is the 20-year anniversary of this show. Years ago today, Fear Factor debuted on NBC. Does anybody have more jobs than Joe Rogan?
More jobs? No. Kevin Hart has a claim here, though.
Kevin Hart's a really good one.
But he didn't do a podcast. He just in everything. I think that's different than jobs.
Yeah, no, that's a really good one. Yo, we don't talk about this nearly enough. What was going on in America in the early 2000s that this is the kind of stuff that we wanted as entertainment? Fear Factor. You remember, this is when Jackass happened. We were watching all of those things. We had like a sick, twisted sense of humor during this time. Like a very sick twist of humor during this time. Did you watch Fear Factor?
I did. I always thought like I would be good at Fear Factor if I never had to eat anything. The eating always, like, I could never do it. Like, if it was like, hey, put your hand on this spider thing and just like hang in there for 20 seconds and win some money, I'm in. Jump off a roof when you're tethered up, I'm in. Eat a bug, I'm out. Big out.
Show never did it for me. I'm not going to lie to you. I was never a Fear Factor guy. I watched it a couple of times. Wasn't a big thing for me.
Did everything just scare you so it didn't move you?
That stuff, seeing somebody eat cockroaches just isn't my form of entertainment. If that's what you like to watch, I'm not here to judge you, but that just was never a form of entertainment for me. It is wild to think, like, if I told you 20 years ago, hey, the guy that hosts this show is going to become like one of the five biggest people in media in like 8 years. What do you think about that? I'd have called you crazy if that was the case. You know what I mean? The guy that hosted Fear Factor, I would have called you crazy if you had told me, hey, the guy that hosts the show is going to, A, turn into Ryan Seacrest. Like, that doesn't seem like the natural career path. Like, you don't go from hosting Fear Factor to now being Ryan Seacrest. It's not really how it works.
I mean, Joe Rogan, apparently he was a stand-up. I don't know how he went from stand-up career to what he does now. His career path is fascinating to me. And the fact that he was literally a stand-up comic, he got into a little spat with Carlos Mencia, then was on Fear Factor, and now is the UFC guy, and also hosts a wildly popular podcast. What a career arc.
No, he's absolutely had a very, very wild career arc. So 20 years ago today was the anniversary of Fear Factor. I want to read this text really quickly before we step aside. Hey, Carrington, the Chiefs and Bucks are better than everybody else, so why not cut right to the AFC and NFC championship games, back to the playoffs? The Chiefs and the Bucks are equal. maybe my belief in college athletics is just very different. And I say this as someone who cheers for one of the others when it comes to college athletics. College athletics are not equal. Like, Rob, you cheer for Kansas basketball, right? They're D1 basketball. So is UMKC. So is Missouri. Are they all on the same level playing field?
No.
Not close. So my issue maybe is in more the inequities of it. And I think those inequities will continue to show us how hard it is to win at a really high level in college athletics because of the way that the system exists. Think about college basketball. Everybody says they love the one-and-done nature of the NCAA tournament, right? I bet you, and I don't have this off the top of my head, I bet you if I pick four teams in college basketball out of the, 350-something college basketball teams there are? I bet you if I pick four schools, I'll give one of the final four participants, or two of them will have been the final four in at least 35 of the last 40. And the randomness that is the NCAA tournament, if you give me Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, Michigan State, those four, I bet you I have at least one or more of the final four participants in the last 35 or more of 40. College athletics are not equal. They're not even. The goal of every university is not the same when it comes to it. It's different in pro football. The reason a playoff to me makes sense in pro football is there's a minimum of what your organization can spend. There's also a maximum of what your organization can spend. When you hit free agency in the NFL, everybody in theory has a chance to get you, right? In theory, everybody has a chance. There's also systems in place where you can never leave a team. So if you're one of those small market teams, like in this case, I think you would call Kansas City a small market team in the NFL, even though it's obviously very different. There's not really a path in which Mahomes can leave. Like, unless Mahomes was just adamant, I do not want to be here. I am not playing here. He's not leaving. He can't really leave. When's the earliest Mahomes could leave if he really wanted to leave? Year 8 is the earliest he could leave. If Mahomes was, I'm never signing a contract with Kansas City. I know he did, but follow me here. Is it at the end of year 8, the earliest he could leave? This is not how college athletics are set up. So my issue more than anything in college athletics is the way that the wealth is sort of divvied up, and it's not designed for middle teams to have success. And this playoff to me just isn't going to change that fact. It's slightly better for Missouri than it was yesterday. It's slightly better for K-State than it was. Doesn't really affect Kansas much. Like, you got to win 5 games before you even start having these kind of conversations. But it doesn't drastically change anything. And the gap that still exists between, even in Missouri's own conference, the gap that exists between Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, and Florida, and I'm probably forgetting a school, will still exist tomorrow when they create this new system. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.